¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Oh, bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin and my primo Hector Reyes in the house.
What's up, guys?
¡Órale, órale! Yeah, we're listos. And y a sus órdenes, primo Ricky couldn't make it tonight, so, but he did give us a little something to talk about afterwards. But so for now, it's just, you know, los dos amigos this week. So
we two amigos, that's right.
We could still have a
fair, down the fort. That's
we could
right.
still have our own little handshake, so we'll be okay
that's
on
right.
that one. Hey, so make sure you're following us on Twitter at FamiliaFFB, and you can find me at JorgeMartin17. Hector, where did they get you?
What the heck? Two T's.
Yeah, and don't forget our original content at FamiliaFFB.com. So just first off, hey, you know, just sending out some thoughts and prayers to Tiger Woods, primo. I mean, it's, you know.
Sounds bad.
Yeah, our family is filled with golfers, plenty of fans of Tiger, but yeah. Oh.
It's probably a lot of us, you know, picked up the game because of Tiger. I mean, Tiger just changed. He changed the game, literally changed the game. I mean, he just brought so many more people into the game. You know, Latinos, you know, African American, just opened it up. You know, when he won the Masters, that was just like the like his coming out party. And it was like, you know what? If Tiger can play Masters and win the Masters, you know, anybody can play golf and anybody can win and anybody can be great. So it just, everyone started looking at golf as just like an everyman sport, where back in the days it was kind of seen as like an elite sport, you know, rich people sport, but Tiger kind of opened it up for everybody. And so that was awesome. I was a super fan of his. I mean, mostly everybody that I know, you know, generally picked it up. You know, Tiger Woods was somehow involved in their, you know, beginning interest, picking it up and wanting to play golf. So yeah, huge impact on, you cannot overstate for sure his impact on golf, where he's meant to the game. And yeah, it's horrible. I mean, I think they were saying that it happened at, you know, 7 o'clock or so in the morning. He was on his way, I think, to some kind of press function with Golf Digest,
right,
or Golf Magazine, one of those. And I guess he just lost control. You know, it's just one of those things. He's like a windy road downhill. And, you know, we've all been there. I mean, I hope to God, you know, that he wasn't, you know, looking at his texting or something like that. But, you know, we've all kind of been there, like, okay, I'm just going to check this quick text real quick, you know, just real fast. You know, what's the worst that could happen? So hopefully that's not what it was. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just glad the guy, you know, survived the crash. It was pretty horrific. And, you know, he looks like he's going to be okay, you know, after some rehab and couple surgeries and stuff, but, you know, thank God that he survived.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it sounds scary. I mean, you start hearing about compound fractures, and, you know, we talk about, you know, football injuries all the time, and, you know, you hear, I mean, like, we saw, like, the Dak Prescott, the Alex Smith, and you're just like, oh my God, I just mean,
yeah, this Joe Theismann, that was a
Joe Theismann, compound,
yeah, right,
exactly,
compound fractures, it's like the bones just like, ugh, yeah, so, it's rough.
First off, yeah, just hopefully, you know, salud, hopefully, you know, just a healthy return to normal life. I mean, that's just,
sure,
you know,
for
definitely.
Sure. Golf is secondary right now. You know, get that rehab done, you know, be there for your family, for your kids, Tiger. You know, like that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, just a year after Kobe, you know, it's, which
know,
that's
crazy.
That's still a knife in the heart. And so
that still stings for sure, man. For
and
sure.
You know, and the crazy thing, like one of the things, like when I thought of Tiger, it made me think of Kobe. And I remembered last year, I don't know if you probably saw it. He was coming off the course. And his caddy went to him and said, hey, Tiger, just want to give you a heads up that Kobe died. Kobe died in a plane crash, in a helicopter crash.
Yeah.
And then Tiger was just like, he's just literally coming off the course. And like the camera caught it, you know, as this was happening. And he just looks like, what did you just say?
You saw a ghost. You saw
like,
a ghost.
Yeah, yeah. Like he did. Couldn't believe it. Could not believe it. I mean, because they're contemporaries. So
yeah, for sure.
Amazing. Just amazing. So
yeah, man.
Otra vez, salud, Tiger. You know, wishing you nothing but the best. Wishing you nothing but the best. So,
for sure. For sure.
You know, this being the off season portion of the show. And I mean, gosh, with so much talk about the draft and free agency and guys coming up, it's still so much. It really feels like the NFL is still happening. You wouldn't have thought that there hadn't been.
It always is.
Yeah. It never stops. Football never stops.
Exactly. Football never, it's like the sun coming up, man. You know, there's going to be football's going to be in the news, man. As sure as the sun comes up and sun goes down, there's going to be NFL talk. There's something to talk about in NFL. So it's and great.
I think it'll be this way, at least all the way through, like, you know, at least through Memorial Day. You know, it'll probably be a month after the NFL draft that we'll still be talking about a lot of stuff. And then we'll be like, all right, let's talk about fantasy football drafts.
So yeah, mock drafts.
So, you know, we've had some great, great guests, invitados de lujo for our Familia FFB podcast. You know, last week, just the chat with Omar Ruiz was fantastic. And I'm about to release an interview with Mauricio Gutierrez, the esteemed leading voice of fantasy football throughout Mexico and Latino America. Just a wonderful guy, wonderful guy. I mean, we talked about how he got started, things with so much about football. I mean, with both of them starting with football, and actually there's a portion with Mauricio where he and I kind of go back and forth talking about our shared fandom of U2. So there's a fun part. But one of the consistent things, and this is one of the things that I want to keep consistent throughout all the interviews, is food, Mexican food. And
of course everybody
comes back to the tacos.
That's the bridge, man. That's the glue that holds us all together, right?
Holds us all together. So I mean, just some, you know, so and it's like I got a wide array of answers. Uche, sesos, tripa. Mauricio, you know, has said on his podcast all the time that Al Pastor is his clear 101. So, Hector, I'm going to start with you. Rank your favorite ones.
Well, so my top draft pick, you know, I would go with chalk. Okay. I'm not going to go Uche, Sesos. Then, you know, I'm just going to stick to chalk, and I'm going to go number one is carne asada. Just like, you know, the ultimate. I mean, I remember being in Mexico, you know, as a youngster, we went to Pegueros and went to my dad's hometown, San Nicolás. And, you know, I was like 12 and you're getting street tacos out there in Mexico. You just smell it, you know, being in TJ and going to Rosarito as a partier, you know, my older years, you know, getting out of the clubs at, you know, 2 a.m, whatever. And up and down the street, there's just street tacos and it just smells as wonderful. And it's just that. There's that smell, and to me, it's just like that. There's that smell that's like unmistakably carne asada. That just like, you know, you grill it in your barbecue in your backyard. It's just like it's just that wonderful aroma of grilling carne asada. Then, you know, if they have a killer red sauce, I mean, then that's game over. So that's my number one, killer red sauce on a great carne asada taco. I mean, I'll recommend King Taco all day. I think anybody asks me, King Taco's red sauce is hands down to me.
Ooh.
That's the best red sauce around. I mean, I haven't found one like theirs. It's just, it's got everything. It's gonna punch you in the face, got some heat to it. Flavor is just spot on, perfect. It's just amazing. I mean, you throw that on the carne asada and it's awesome. Number two, I'll go kind of opposite side of the spectrum, but still chalk. Boil, throw some green sauce on there, because usually your taquero has the red sauce and the green sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Boil and the green sauce. Go that route there. Maybe a little bit of lime, lemon, throw it on there on top. It's a splash. And then number three, round out, I'll go Al Pastor as well. Number three, throw some red sauce on there too. So, or green. Al Pastor kind of, you know, depending on my mood, if I'm really, you know, depending if I'm digging, you know, the green or the red, you know, that the taquero has there or wherever I'm at, if I have a preference to one of the sauces, I'll throw that on my Al Pastor and have a good evening. And then if I go for refills, go for seconds, I'll usually just, you know, round it out with just all asada. Just, okay, you know, you order three the first round, you know, second round, you order two or three more, like, give them all asada. Let's go. So that's how I do it.
That's, you know, we talked about unique ones. You mentioned that when you were a kid, lengua was.
I used to eat lengua when I was a kid. My mom used to make the tacos de lengua and I used to eat them, you know, I was like a 6, 7, 8 year old and this is good. You know, I didn't think too much about it. It was different. You know, we didn't have it all the time, but I enjoyed the flavor. I thought it was, you know, it was good, but it's weird as I got older, it just kind of like evolved into like, that's a cow's tongue. Like, what nah, like, nah, man. Like, and it just kind of, you know, it wasn't that in, like, the flavor of it. Like, once I like had like that moment of clarity of like what I was actually eating, I was just like, I think I just kind of shy away, and I haven't really had it since.
I know. So Ricky handed his out. He went pollo asado too. With a little bit of cilantro, onions, a little bit of splash of lime, maybe a little bit of sauce.
And the asada taco is, you got to have the cilantro and onion. That's just that's a given. That's a given. So,
and you know, I like to add the frijoles to it. So,
yeah, you did mention that before. Yes, sir.
So, and Ricky mentioned jackfruit. I don't know if you've ever had that.
I have not.
I've had it, and it has that, you know, it kind of has that same texture as carnitas, and it's really good. Throw some, you know, it's got, when it's seasoned the right way, it is so yummy and so, I mean, it's healthy. It's fruit. I mean, it's a vegetable. So
it's jackfruit.
Yeah. I really recommend it. I really recommend it. My,
I'll look for it. I'll find it.
My OG three carne asada is the clear number one for me. Yeah. It's just, I mean, and the thing is, one of the things I find, you know, in fact, when I was talking about it with Mauricio, he goes, "Oh, do you guys get good Mexican food?" I said, "Yeah, we get good Mexican food, but you know, when I want the real deal, I go to mom." You know,
right?
You know, straight out of Jalisco. So you know, let's go there. And you know, it's still, I don't think anybody comes close to the marinade that our moms learned. So
the OG, man, hell yeah.
The OG with a little bit of cerveza in there. Oh, it's just
boom, heaven. The Budweiser, man. The OG Budweiser marinade, man, like classic. Super classic.
The carne borracha, nothing like that. Mom used to, yeah, she's still, I think she goes Mexican beer now. So a little Pacifico or
Corona. Yeah, the Budweiser gave it, I don't know. I mean, it's just weird. Like, even as a kid, I could like, there was a certain flavor that Budweiser brought to the table.
You know? It really did. Yeah,
right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
and it smelled too.
This is the Budweiser meat. And you knew that it was Budweiser for whatever reason. It has worked, and maybe it's the corn in the Budweiser that works well with like with tortillas, and I don't know. It's just it worked, man.
One of my other favorites, carnitas. To me, there's a few things as good as, but you know, nice carnitas with, you know, with a little bit of pico de gallo and some beans on there, some frijoles de la olla. It's got to be in corn tortilla. Oh, you know,
yeah, man.
Chorizo is another favorite. Now the great thing was in hearing some of these, some of the favorites that our guests have had, our invitados, uche was one. Uche. Sesos was another one. In fact, Omar said like he would invite people and he'd order for them and they would ask him what it is. And he said, just eat it first, and then I'll tell you later.
That's a scary thing to tell somebody. Like, what am I gonna, what am I about to eat here?
Yeah.
Just try it first. Like, oh man, that's not a good answer.
Oh man,
it's not a good. It's usually it's something that you're like, oh man, if you would have told me what it was before, like I wouldn't have ate it. So you know that's what that is.
Oh yeah, that's one of the ones, and I've had them, and it's just like, okay, I'll stick to my tried and true. But one that I remember, you know, Pop used to, you know, bring those when I was a kid was tacos de cabeza. Okay. And I never really, I just thought it was a name. And then it was just until I was much older that I realized it is really meat from the head of a cow. And I was just like, hey, you know, but it was so damn yummy. So
exactly. When you're a kid, like, you don't know, your parents give you food, like, okay, I'm going to eat it. And it's from a tacos, you know, from a
and taco they're eating stand. It.
And it's like, hey, maybe they marinate it, season it. Hey, it's, there you go. It's got some flavor to it.
God. And I tell you, like, you know, the last party that Pop was able to go to on Father's Day in 2016, God rest his soul, when he insisted that the taquero have lengua because he wanted lengua. And that was the last party. So, you know, the lengua, I couldn't have it, but he and mom love lengua. So go for it. I will say one thing that I found, for those who have watched the Netflix movie Game Changers and have started to go for more plant-based options. I found a tofu option, for crumbled tofu. I tell you, it comes out just like taco meat. And it's got a nice little kick, you know, cook it with a little salsa, a little cayenne pepper, a little soy sauce. I mean, just a lot of other flavors. Oh, it's so yummy. So yummy. So, you know, for another time, one of these days we'll do it. So
for sure.
Oh, primo. Well, let's get into some cheese man. Now that I'm hungry, I want to go get it ready to eat after this.
Let's go for sure.
Obviously with some beer. So
of course.
So, you know, we didn't get a chance because last week, our last show was recorded before the Carson Wentz trade. And as we talked about it, it's everybody's heard it's a number 3 and a number 2 next year going to the Eagles for Carson Wentz. Heck, tell me, what are you thinking of the trade?
I mean, I think I mentioned it a little bit last. We were talking about, I was talking
we were about, talking about the possibility.
Yeah. We did talk about the possibility. I think we had mentioned that I forget who it was that said it, that someone mentioned it. And I think we all kind of had a consensus that, you know what, that's a strong possibility. And I had mentioned that, you know, whoever goes there, I think Wentz would be a great fit there because the receivers there, you know, I'm excited about the receiving core there with Pittman there and T.Y. Hilton still there. And they have another young receiver, right? They have a good little solid receiving core over there.
Yeah, Paris Campbell, right, battled injuries. Yeah. He's, you know, he's been out. He was out all of last year and missed a bunch of the 2019 season. So,
right. And of course, you know, we'll talk about Jonathan Taylor in a second. But, man, that just opens up the passing game. So, you know, it's good for Carson Wentz. I mean, there was talk. You know, him and Doug Peterson were just butting heads. So, you know, that obviously, you know, that doesn't bode well for a quarterback's performance. So, I mean, it could be like, you know, he's throwing in the towel. You know, it could have been that he was tanking. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could have been that he was doing it on purpose just so that he could throw a fit and make the coach look bad. Like, oh my God, you're benching Carson Wentz. Like, how dare you, kind of thing. You know, just to kind of put all the pressure on Doug Peterson. I think Wentz, we saw what he did before he jacked up his knee, MCL, ACL, that bad injury a couple of years back. I mean, he was on his way to an MVP type season. So he has the ability in there, you know, I think he can do it. And this offense, I mean, we saw what, you know, Phillip Rivers did with this offense last year, and gosh, I mean, he was making things happen. He had, you know, 300 yard games, like pretty consistently, 200-300 yard games, 3 TDs here. And gosh, I mean, he was doing some things as Phillip Rivers. I mean, I can only imagine a Carson Wentz, you know, younger Carson Wentz, a stronger arm Carson Wentz with these young burner receivers. I mean, there's sky's the limit with this team. I mean, be ready. I think there's big things coming for Indy. Now, as far as Philly, you know, getting those draft picks, I mean, Jalen Hurts looked good. I mean, we definitely want to see some more of that. But yeah, he didn't play very much. But the games that he did play, he threw up some pretty solid numbers. But I mean, if they're not getting, she said they're getting a draft pick this year and some next year. Is that how it went?
One this year and the next year pick is supposed to be a second rounder. But if there's certain conditions are met, it elevates to a first rounder.
Got it. I always think like when you're doing a trade, like I think Philly needs something right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, you know, future draft picks that's not going to help Philly next season. So, but Hurts is, you know, if he can be put together a great season and do some things and do some damage, you know, then they may come out okay. But in my opinion, I think Indy got the better of this deal. What do you think?
One of the things that I think, you know, the two things that were there in 2017 when Carson Wentz was almost the MVP was he had Frank Reich calling the plays, and he had a solid offensive line, one of the top offensive lines in football. Yep. So what's happening in Indianapolis? He's got Frank Reich calling the plays.
What?
Yeah. And even though their left tackle retired, they are going to get, they've got cap space. They've got draft capital. They can upgrade at that position. And the one place T.Y. Hilton is going to be a free agent. So there's a possibility they lose him, but you know, with the way wide receivers are coming out of college right now, they could grab one of the guys. They'll have a first round pick. This is supposed to be a loaded draft class with, you know, where they, where I saw one analyst say that they could, we could have more than 15 receivers taken in the first, in the first three rounds.
My God.
So, and that's how many were taken last year in the first three rounds. So I look at the, I look at, they could upgrade that way. Or,
I mean, yeah, that sounds, if they're saying that this is a stacked draft class, and last year wasn't, and we got these rookie receivers came out of a not stacked draft class last year. My God, imagine the talent that we'll get out of a stacked wide receiver draft class. Like, oh my God, God, that sounds incredible to me.
No, it's incredible. One thing that I was thinking about after, and I put this up on Twitter, is the fact that look at the defenses that Wentz is going to face twice next year. Houston, Tennessee, and Jacksonville. So that's six games against three of the worst defenses of 2020. Now, you got to figure those teams are going to attack that position, that side of the football, to try and make it better. But are they gonna elevate themselves to being a top 10 defense and make a difference?
No.
I think Wentz those weeks is gonna be a play. I think Wentz is a sleeper for this year. I'm not gonna put him in my top 10 rankings for when we get closer to the season. But I will say I would not be surprised if he has a good year, because look, Philip Rivers had a good year and he didn't run. Carson Wentz can run. So,
and Philip Rivers doesn't even have a strong arm either. Philip Rivers throws darts, right, kind of short darts. Carson Wentz can do everything Philip Rivers did, but then Frank Reich can now open up the offense for the deep ball on top of that. And you have Jonathan Taylor just, you know, opening everything up even more. Like, man. No, and again, like you said, we're reuniting Carson Wentz MVP season, you know, Frank Reich, Carson Wentz 2.0. We're doing that again now in Indy. And oh man, I would not be surprised if Carson Wentz does not end up, or I would not be surprised if he does end up as a top 10 quarterback. Cause I mean, all the elements are there. Like, all the ingredients are there to make that taco, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There's plenty of salsa on that one.
Yeah, that's some red saying. Sauce. That's what I'm saying.
He it's going to be a good one. I think it's, he's got a lot of possibilities with this one. I think he's going to be a lot of people's second quarterback. And yep, possibly end up on a lot of teams.
Oh, yeah, he will be picked up for sure. And mm-hmm, that'll be a good – I mean, I'm looking to pick him up as my second QB because, man, that'd be good to have him, especially if he does what I think he's going to do. Like I said, I like the Indy offense, so I think he'll do well there. And I think he'll put up better numbers than Philip Rivers, and Philip Rivers put up some pretty darn good numbers. So
absolutely. Absolutely. So we got some news today, actually, just before we recorded. The owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Art Rooney, announced that Big Ben is coming back in 2021. They're going to upgrade, you know,
farewell tour.
Yeah. They're going to, you know,
every team can get him a motorcycle, you know, like before the game. Like, what? I don't know, man.
Well, they're going to do something. Exactly. Tell me about it.
I don't know. I mean, it just seemed to me, you know, obviously that, you know, we out there in fantasy football analysis land, you know, we watch these guys. We watch these guys play. We watch what they do. We watch the numbers that they put up. And you tell me, Big Ben just crapped the bed last year. I mean, he had, you know, one of the, you know, potentially or arguably the top receiving core in all of the NFL. You got Juju, you got Claypool, you got my guy.
Deontay.
The receivers, Deontay. I had him on my team, Deontay. So the three-headed monster over there. My God. You had James Conner in the backfield. Yes, he was hurt a little bit, but he still had a pretty solid running game there. And he just did like nothing. I mean, Claypool had that one game with like three or four touchdowns and whatnot. But for the weapons that Big Ben had last year, he should have done way, way more than what he did. So I think everyone can kind of, you know, I think there's a consensus agreement that Big Ben's year last year was pretty, pretty awful. You know, and I don't think anything has come out where he was kind of injured or had any serious setbacks that caused him to have a year like that. But it just seemed like he's got nothing left in the tank, man. And for him to come back for another year, to me, it doesn't make any sense. I thought that, you know, if he would have said I'm retiring, I would have been like, you know what, it's the right time. You know what I mean? After what I saw last year, I said, it's the right time for you. But so to come back, I'm not really expecting anything. out of the Steelers offense with him, you know, in charge there. So I don't know. Is he going to be backup? I don't know. You know, how long is he going to last as a starter?
They're bringing him back as a starter, but they're going to have.
That's what I'm saying. You know, for how long? I mean, you can't stink up the room for you know, the first 5 weeks and expect to stay starter. You know, at some point, if he's not pulling his weight, sorry to say, as Big Ben, you know, the veteran and, you know, the face of the Steeler organization, if he's not doing it, they might have to bench him.
And that's the thing. Wherein you look at that, I mean, you're risking that.
Yeah.
There, I mean, the one thing I don't want to see is that little dink and dunk attack that they had last year.
Yeah, he's Big Ben, but yeah, but how does he? His long ball was just nowhere near as accurate as he was back in
the day. No, it wasn't, and they didn't use it. And they didn't use it. He only threw, you know, he had 600 attempts, completed 399, and he only threw it for 3,803 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, I mean, not even 10 yards
five
per
yard
completion.
Pass, 6 yard pass, 10 yeah, yard
pass.
Yeah,
that's all it was. That's all it was. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's the possibility that Juju Smith-Schuster signs somewhere else, but then you still have Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, who, I mean, to me, Claypool, when we do the super sophomores for wide receivers, I think he's headed for a breakout season next year, especially if,
I agree.
If Juju walks. But I don't feel good about this offense. Sorry, Primo Jose.
I know.
Our resident, I went there with you. Our resident Steelers fan, but yeah, yep. Yo no sé.
I agree.
And now we got another piece of news that the Buccaneers, fresh off winning the Super Bowl, could be talking in extension with Tom Brady with TB12.
Yeah, man.
So beyond the 2021 season, that, I mean, we talked about him playing till age 45. Playing in 2022 would put him at age 45.
Yeah. I mean, he's comfy cozy back there in the pocket. I think I read a stat. I don't know if you came across this one. I don't know if you can find it. The amount of yards
Brady,
Patrick Mahomes, the amount of yards that Patrick Mahomes ran away from, from the Bucs defense in the pocket during the Super Bowl compared to Tom Brady. Like, Patrick Mahomes ran like, I think they said like 200 yards.
No, it was 497.
Running away from the defense. You know, just running away. And Tom Brady, Tom Brady ran like, you know, like 15 yards or something like that.
I don't think. He didn't even do that. I think he was negative. He ended up negative yardage. Right. But yeah, he didn't
So, you know, he sat there comfortably. That, you know, the Bucs O-line is solid. They're going to keep him protected. And it's a cush job. You can call it a cush job for Tom Brady. He doesn't get hurried. He you know, their offense is, you know, airtight. He hikes the ball, a couple drop back steps, you know, tosses it up, the guy catches it, move the chains. And let's go. So yeah, Tom Brady, I mean, he's in an ideal situation. He could be there for many, many more years to come because he's not taking any hits right now. And I don't see any teams that are really going to put too much pressure on the guy.
No, great line, and he's got a good team around him. So we'll see. Last bit of cheesement, you know, there's just some talk that the Dolphins and Aaron Jones have some mutual interest. This is kind of like the, you know, unofficial negotiating period. So the unofficial, maybe not quite legal,
right?
But it's allowed. I think this would be a fantastic move. The Dolphins have patent cap space, and this is a great running back. Maybe they would, and then they could concentrate on other parts, maybe their offensive line, maybe getting another receiver. I think this would be a great marriage for next year.
Oh man, that's so what do the Packers do?
Oh, the Packers, well, we're going to talk about that in a bit. So there's an option on the rest of our, you know, show list. So
there we go.
We'll see. But yeah, no, that's something to keep an eye on. I mean, we're going to try not to like do too much into speculation. I think our time and energy is better spent reacting to when guys starting to sign on March 17th. I think that's a little bit more. I think right now I'm going to start spending a little more time on the draft than I am free agency, unless somebody gets traded or something like that, because I just think that's I think all the speculation, I mean, I think this show is a good potential union, but really some of the stuff that's talked about right now, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, he signed there, but everything looked like he was going to go over here. Right. So, but yeah, so let's jump into our super sophomore series.
Super sophomore, let's go.
So this is going to be a series where we're taking a look at the second year players and their possibilities for breaking out. And we're starting with the running backs. And, you know, a lot of times a running back, his prime is right when he signs. Right when, you know, in rookie year, game one. Mm-hmm. So you get someone like Zeke or Saquon Barkley, and they just, you know, they end up breaking out that first season from start to finish. But then there are guys that take until the second year. You know, Christian McCaffrey was one guy. Melvin Gordon was a guy. This past season, David Montgomery broke out in the second season. So who's ready for the jump this year? And so we're going to look at a few players and just we'll talk a little bit about them, kind of going off of where they finished as far as their finish in the rankings of fantasy points scored. And our first guy on the board is Jonathan Taylor for the Colts. He finished as the RB4. Ended up with 16.9 fantasy points per game. He ended up playing 15 games. I think there was a game in there that he missed because of COVID. But over 1,100, he had 1,169 yards, 11 touchdowns. He had an incredible run at the end of the season. So week 10 to 17, where we went for 119 carries, 741 rushing yards, and 7 touchdowns. So, I mean, that's practically a season right there. I mean, well, week 17, he was bananas. He ended up, he carried my DFS team to one little money. You know, he had 30 rushing attempts for 253 yards and 2 touchdowns, but you know,
that's bananas.
Everything. Yeah. I think everything is there for him. I mean, we talked about the wind steal. We talked about the great offensive line. He's young. I mean, do you have any red flags with him at all?
None. I mean, anybody who can rush for 30 attempts for 253 yards and going for 2 scores in any week, that's a real guy. And we talked about, the offense, the Colts offense, and it's primed, it's primed, ready to rock and roll now with a younger quarterback in Carson Wentz. And I think all the pieces are finally kind of coming together. And Jonathan Taylor, as good as he had last year, I think there's even greater things coming in for him next year, because I think Carson Wentz, the passing game, is definitely going to open things up even more for Jonathan Taylor. So that's I'm excited. I think he's going to have as good, possibly better year next year. I definitely have him on my radar for sure.
The interesting thing is, I think he's not going to be seeing any stacked boxes, with Carson Wentz having more of a deep ball threat than Phillip Rivers had, and a little more, a little more movement in the backfield. I think he's got that great offensive line. They were number 7, according to PFF last year. And we talked about it. They are going to be replacing their left tackle. There is talk that Quentin Nelson, their all pro left guard, may be moving to tackle, and then they might replace him with a guard. Different possibilities. They've got money. They've got a good defense. That's the other thing. They've got a good defense. Taylor is going to have some games where he's just going to salt away. You know, he's just going to, you know, fourth quarter, it's just going to be hand the ball to him.
Exactly. And run the clock out.
He's one of the guys. Yeah. I remember we had a early top 10 first round draft a few weeks ago. I think it was our post Super Bowl. And I had Jonathan Taylor, I think, number 4, because I really think he's going to take that next step. And he even caught 36 balls last year. So just a fantastic. Yeah. I think he had 10 ball, 10 extra receptions to that. I think he's great. I mean, he's still going to have Nyheim Hines back there, but again, I think there's nothing but plus for him. Going to our number 2 guy, and he was El Mas Chingon,
right?
Went on the waiver wire. James.
Yeah, man.
James, I say hello to you, Mr. Robinson.
Mr. Robinson.
Finished as the RB7, and that's in 14 games. So he ended up, you know, and that's a guy who, remember when we drafted on draft day, he was a waiver wire pick.
Yeah. He was undrafted. He went undrafted.
Yeah. And we drafted on Labor Day weekend. So
day before. Yep.
Yeah. So just, you're looking at that and we know what we're talking about. And then this is a guy, you know, everybody kept talking about different guys. I mean, obviously Leonard Fournette was going to be walking away, had been released already, but you look at this guy, I mean, he was a threat both sides. I mean, he 14 games, he missed the last two games of the season with various injuries. I mean, he obviously had, you know, he had 289 total touches on the season, rushed for 1,070 yards, went for 7 touchdowns, had 49 receptions for 344 more yards. I mean, everything looked, you know, really good for him. He had 5 weeks with 20 plus fantasy points. He had 4 games where he went over 100 rushing yards. He had targets 5 times. He had 6 plus targets. You know, and but he was the guy. I mean, he had 289 total touches. The number two guy on Jacksonville had 76.
Oh yeah, he's the number one. He's the bell cow. He's the lead caballo for sure. That's not gonna change.
And there is talk that these Jaguars, who had the number 22 offensive line last year, that they're going to be getting a makeover. Are they going to, you know, they're going to want to prioritize the offensive line. I think they need to prioritize it in free agency and in the draft, because they got to have looked at what happened to Joe Burrow blowing out his ACL.
Yep, and absolutely.
Who's coming in? Fabio Football, exactly. Trevor Lawrence,
Fabio Sunshine, Football.
Sunshine yep. From, you know, Remember the Titans. But so here's one thing. Do you think with, you know, coming in from Trevor Lawrence as the new quarterback, could that mean fewer opportunities for James Robinson?
Well, I mean, what did he do in the passing game? He didn't do very well.
He caught 49 balls. He caught 49 okay. balls.
Well, yeah, so if he can be part of the passing game, sure. Yeah. I mean, they'll phase him in there. The Trevor Lawrence will be looking for him. I don't think too much. You know, I think when you have a young quarterback, I think the offensive coordinator would definitely try to mix it up a little bit. You don't want to put all the pressure on Fabio Football. You know, pass, and you know you're three and outs, and you want to build his confidence up and just kind of keep the chains moving. You know, so you want to, you know, mix in a good running game, and they have one. James Robinson like you said, number 7 RB overall last year. This guy's the real deal. So yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence will fit in nicely there. I have high hopes for him, and I've read a couple articles here and there that not everybody is super high on him. There are some doubters out there among us, you know, with regard to Trevor Lawrence, but I think he'll do fine. I think he'll do very well. I think that's a great tandem right there, James Robinson, Trevor Lawrence. I think they'll do some good things, and as long as he can have as long as he has protection back there, you know, we don't want any more injuries to our young QBs. I think he'll be okay. I think they'll be fine.
I think one of the things, I think Trevor Lawrence is only going to help James Robinson. Yeah, because Robinson, there was no threat in the passing game, and he still had a wonderful season. You know, he still had the 1,070 yards. So I think that only makes with a potential upgrade in the offensive line and Trevor Lawrence coming in, who's also got the rushing threat. He's not going to be running as much as someone like Lamar Jackson or like we think Jalen Hurts could be running, but I think he could run as much as Josh Allen. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to expect him to have a season like Justin Herbert, but I think he will have games and he will have moments. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some people who are talking about the fact that that James Robinson does not have the draft capital. He was an undrafted free agent and came on. But to me, I think the fact is, I hope Urban Meyer looks at him and says, I've already got a guy. A good solid running back that I didn't have to invest a lot into as far as a draft pick. And he's still young. I think, and he's going to look at Trevor Lawrence. I think he's going to look at the offensive line, upgrading it. And I think he's going to say, hey, I've got a lot of work to do on the defense. we need to get that. We need to get those things going. We're fine on offensive line. We've got DJ Chark and LaVisca Chenault outside. So maybe we're okay there. I think that's what's going to, I think we're going to be looking good for, I think things are looking good for James Robinson next year.
I agree.
So I found one fun fact. James Robinson had 1,070 yards total last year rushing. So I found a fun stat that Derrick Henry had 1,073 yards after contact. After contact.
just after contact.
So he would have beaten James Robinson by three total, and he would have been number five overall.
And that's just the after. That's wow.
After first contact. So
Derrick Henry's a monster.
Un monstro, just a stud. Well, another guy who turned out to be a stud for a lot of people. I know I found him late in a couple drafts. Antonio Gibson.
Yeah.
The RB 13 on the season. He had 14.4 fantasy points per game. In 14 games, he had almost 800 yards with 11 touchdowns, and he had 247 yards receiving, with 36 receptions, even though JD McKissick was vulturing a lot of catches from him. But, you know, you look at him from weeks 7 to 11, he was the RB 6, 55 total carries, 287 yards, 5 touchdowns. He had added 65 more yards receiving. He killed Dallas. You know, 20 carries, 128 yards and a touchdown. And on Thanksgiving, I loved watching this game because I had Gibson on one of my teams. 20 carries, 115 yards, 3 touchdowns. So
I played against him that day. So no, I was although I appreciated his skill level and what he could do, my God, he just ate me alive on Thanksgiving. I mean, that was like the first game, you know, I was like my whole entire fantasy weekend was like practically ruined because at that one game, like I was already done. Like, oh man. So, but yeah, that was a killer game. And
heck, that was my fault.
Coming out party. Yeah, for sure.
That was actually my fault because I traded him to Adan before that.
There you go. Yeah. So, good job. Thanks, George.
Perdóname, primo. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Man. Yeah, but man.
The big thing with him is, you know, is he going to catch more passes? As I mentioned, JD McKissick took a bunch of catches from him. He played a lot of receiver. He kind of was like that gadget guy when he was at Memphis, but, is he going to catch more passes? I'd love to see him be a guy who gets, you know, who maybe adds about, you know, 15 to 20 more receptions next year. I think he would just be an absolute weapon. And considering the step forward that he took as the season was going along. And plus he had a number six offensive line, according to PFF. Yep. I think that's big. To me, the only big thing with them is, and I think Washington is going to do this. They're going to address the quarterback. Cause I don't think they want Taylor Heineke or Alex Smith to be their starting quarterback next year.
No, not at all. They're going to have somebody in there. We'll see who that is, but they're going to definitely plug and play somebody in there.
I think there's going to now. What is there something that you like with him that could make him jump? Haven't even taken either further step next year.
I think, you know, what we just talked about is that great unknown is who's going to be who's the quarterback. You know, I think that's the one thing that I would love to see him take a big step, but without knowing, you know, who the play caller is back there, that's just too much of a variable. You know, because, you know, you never know. If you have a gunslinger back there, then that may impact, you know, like a CEH. We'll talk about him in a little bit. You know, with Mahomes back there, CEH, you know, that doesn't help when your quarterback's a gunslinger like Mahomes is. And so CEH, I think, you know, that definitely impacted him a little bit at least, you know, as the number of carry that he got. So we'll see. I mean, whoever Washington puts back there as a signal caller, you know, that's to be seen. You know, is it a guy that's, you know, plays a balanced offense, or is it a, you know, super passer guy and, you know, fewer attempts for the rushers? So we'll have to wait for that one.
I think so. I gotta think that Washington is looking at the possibility, or, you know, our compadre Ron Rivera is looking at the possibility that, hey, you know what, this is the NFC East is down right now. And it's there for the taking. All we need is to upgrade a quarterback. So maybe they go get Sam Darnold. Maybe they get Cam Newton. I think they're going to upgrade their quarterback, and that's
for
that,
sure.
That's
Cam Newton Rivera. Is there going to be a reunion there?
I think so. Because the other thing about this, and I think this very much helps Antonio Gibson, is the fact that this defense for Washington, I think this is going to be a top five defense with Chase Young.
Yes, yes.
This is going to be a standout defense that is going to give some possibilities for Antonio Gibson to just kind of salt away games at the end. I love Antonio Gibson. I think he's a back end, at the very least, a back end first round pick next year. So it's a stud. Well, we got a wild card coming in from the Detroit Lions, DeAndre Swift. He was the RB18. Yeah, the RB18, 14.6 points per game last year with 13 games. Obviously, he battled some injuries, and I think he battled COVID as well. It was a second round pick. He was the second running back selected in the NFL draft last year, and he had his moments. I mean, I tell you, do you still feel it? I know your brother Victor still feels it when he could add that walk off touchdown in game one.
In the opening game, he dropped it like an automatic. Just slipped right through his fingers.
Oh, but I tell you, the big thing with him is he improved it. You know, he definitely was kind of in the doghouse after that, but he still improved. He had 521 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns, which was huge. He had 46 receptions for 357 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, 10 touchdowns with just kind of, fair to middling production without being the guy, because we'll talk about that in a second. An offensive line that's number 13, set kind of in the middle of the road. But this is a guy who I think we saw this a lot. None of the running backs outside of James Robinson really had the job from the start. Week 6 after the bye, I remember thinking this could be a point where DeAndre Swift kind of comes out, and he went 14 carries, 116 yards, and 2 touchdowns. To me, the big thing is what happens with the 156 carries that Adrian Peterson is likely going to take with him next year. I don't think you're going to spend. As much as Anthony Lynn may want to have another running back, I don't think the other running back is going to get 156 carries, take 156 carries away from DeAndre Swift. I look at this possibility. I look at when I think about the new coaching staff, Dan Campbell as the head coach, the former Charger head coach, Anthony Lynn as the offensive coordinator. I'm looking at a possibility of Austin Eckler in 2019, yep. who I believe he was top 5 RB that year. So total dual threat with DeAndre Swift. I really like the possibility with him.
Jared Goff. I mean, Jared Goff has shown that he can do some things with a good running back there. So, he had Gurley there back there. He can do some things with a solid running back there. The Rams running game was pretty decent this year. We had Cam Akers, and so there's some good things that happen. So I think, DeAndre Swift is, I think, in a very good spot. Anthony Lynn coming in, what he did with Austin Eckler, I could definitely see something like that happening, a kind of a repeat performance with DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift has talent. The guy is definitely a talented cat. So, it's a whole new setup. Jared Goff is there, new coaching staff, a whole new look. And, as I say, change is good. So I see some good things coming for DeAndre Swift this year.
Big time. I really like him. One of the things that I liked, he finished strong. He got 5 touchdowns in the last 5 games. So I think the only thing that's going to be tough is this team's going through a massive rebuild. So, which means their defense is going to go through a lot of work. And they could be in some games where DeAndre Swift, isn't going to have a chance to run the ball because they're going to be, getting blown out. But again, he's a threat out of the backfield as catching balls. So hopefully I'm looking at him as kind of like a round 3, round 4 kind of guy who could be come up next year. I'm really looking forward to him.
Yep.
So CEH, you mentioned him. Clyde Edwards, Elide, as we love to call
Elide,
him.
Elide, that's right.
Finished as RB22. He had that late season injury that cost him a few games. 13.5 points per game. Ankle and hip injuries. So, you know, in week 13, so he missed the rest of the season, but came back in the playoffs. The thing with him is, you know, I think people are not liking him because he didn't come in and become Kareem Hunt in his rookie year.
Exactly. Right.
I think people are mad at him about that. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? He still had 803 yards. Yes, he was not a touchdown monster. I mean, he had problems in the red zone. We'll talk about that. I mean, he had 28 red zone carries, but only 3 touchdowns. He was 25th mm-hmm. in the league in red zone carries. So, they're not didn't get a lot of opportunities down there. But of course, that was Mahomes doing a lot of short passes down there.
The gunslinging, that little underhander to Kelsey.
But I look at him. He had 138 yards in his first game. He had one other game with 161 yards, which was in week 6 against the Buffalo Bills. But, you know, I look at him and I still see possibilities. I still see the running back that these guys are the Chiefs drafted. And I'm looking at him and I'm kind of like, you know what? I still want this guy on my team. I think I still want this guy on my team because I still love the Mahomes offense. And I still think that there are going to be rushing lanes open for this guy because you still got Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill opening things up for him down the field. I still like the possibility for him. And I think he's going to be a depressed asset on draft day. I mean,
I agree. And people are going to poo-poo him a little bit and he's going to fall. And I think he's going to be a good value pick. You probably pick him up in what, maybe like the fourth, fifth round. You probably sweep him up.
Think at the very least the third round, because I think running back is going to get very thin very quickly.
That's true. Yeah, probably third round. You're probably right.
But I wouldn't mind taking him as my RB1. You know, yeah. if I could maybe grab Devontae Adams and you know, maybe like a Devontae Adams, AJ Brown, or DK Metcalf late in the first round, and then come back with Travis Kelce right after that, I'd be happy to grab CEH. He's
on 3. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Offensive line still number 11. I mean, they're going to concentrate on that offensive line, getting those guys healthy. Mitchell Schwartz, I saw, just had surgery. He was the right tackle. And the big question mark is going to be Eric Fisher. What is going to happen with him on the left side? Because he's probably not going to be back in time for the start of the season. So we'll see. We'll see. Vamos a ver. J.K. Dobbins, another possibility. So he was second round pick and number 55 overall. He was the RB24 on the season with 11 fantasy points per game, 11.2 fantasy points per game. He missed a game, 805 rushing yards, another 120 on the ground. Their offensive line was number 16, but they were still kind of like a solid unit. To me, the big thing is, what are the other players going to take away from Dobbins? I think he's going to be the RB1, but you still have Gus Edwards is a possibility to leave via free agency, but he could be signed back. He had 144 carries. You had J.K. Dobbins with 134. Mark Ingram has already been released. He had 72 carries, so some of those are going to come. Dobbins was the threat out of the backfield as a receiver. He had 24 targets. But you look at him, there are a lot of things to like. He had 6.0 yards per carry. Number one among running backs. Only Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray were ahead of him as far as.
Wow. So I didn't know that. That's impressive. Wow.
He ended up with a three-way tie for second in yards after contact. Why do I want to keep saying content? 2.9 yards per carry. So 394 yards total. So he had his breakout in week 8, 15. So again, the mid-season breakout for these guys. You know, he had 10 plus carries in 8 of the last 9 games as they were phasing out Mark Ingram. He had a huge game week 17, 13 carries, 160 yards.
Yeah, it almost seemed like, you know, once he was realizing that he was the guy, It like flipped a switch, it like lit a fire underneath him. Like, okay, you know what? This is my team now. I'm the bell cow. I'm the lead caballo now. Let me show these guys what I can do. And yeah, towards the end of the season, like he just like shifted into another gear, and he just started putting up these big weeks and big numbers. So, yeah, I see a lot more of that coming up next season. I would definitely love to pick up some J.K. Dobbins stock on some of my teams next year.
What do you think of the possibility that, you know, those 134 carries jump up around 200? Because Mark Ingram had 200 carries the previous season, and he's leaving 72 on the table right now. It could be a possibility. I mean, I'd love to see two, you know, even if his yards per carry, maybe they're not 6.0, but if they're five, that's 1,000 yards rushing right there.
Yes. That's, you're moving the chains. 5 yard, you know, the 5 yards of carry is definitely moving the chain. So they're going to be handing, as long as he's doing that, he's going to be getting the ball. He's going to eat. So yeah, that's good things happening for the offense, the Ravens offense there, as long as he's getting the ball. So that's a good, that's 6.0 yards per carry. I didn't realize that's impressive.
That was huge. Yeah. You know, the red zone carries, they kind of divided them up among their players. Dobbins had 29 last year, Edwards had 28, and Jackson had 26. So, you know, that, I mean, I know Dobbins still got 9 touchdowns on the season. So that to me is, if you add another 50 to 75 rushing attempts, I'll take my chances that he's going to get more than nine touchdowns next year. So I like that possibility.
Yeah, for sure.
I like that possibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only question is 159 carries that Lamar Jackson has. I don't think he's going to be dropping too many carries next year. Does that worry you at all?
No, not at all. I mean, Lamar Jackson is like evolving. I mean, he went from, you know, MVP to like last year. He's kind of going down, right? Every year it's like he's rushing a little bit less, right?
A little bit less. I think he's still going to be very much a rushing threat out there. I mean, I'd like to think that maybe they're going to add another receiver there to kind of be the guy to put ahead of Marquise Brown and have Brown be more of a wide receiver too. I think just to, you know, open things up a little bit more for Lamar Jackson, maybe throw a little more. I'd love to see that happen. I'd love to see him be a guy who goes over 4,000 yards. So, ojalá. Ojalá. Well, the last guy we're going to talk about, Cam Akers. He ended up as, you know, not tan sexy, the RB45. He had 8.5 fantasy points per game in 12 games. You know, he battled some injuries on the season. He was a second round pick, but, you know, he finished strong. 625 yards total, 123 rushing yards, but his breakout was late. If you held on to him, you got rewarded in, you know, his week 13 was his breakout, 21 carries, 72 yards and a touchdown. But week 14, first round of the fantasy playoffs, 29 carries, 171 yards. And he added another 23, just exploded on the Patriots.
Huge. So that was huge.
Tough thing was the next week he hurt his ankle. So, you know, if teams were counting on him in week 15 of the playoffs, he got hurt, but still he came back. He was the carry monster for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
His last four games, 21 carries, 29 carries, 15 carries, 21 carries. Those are in the regular season. So, and in one of those games was, was the week 17 game with a high ankle sprain, in week 17 against the Arizona Cardinals. So, I'm looking at him, the possibilities. I'm excited about this guy. I mean, obviously it's the Ram fan in me coming out.
Right. Yeah. I was going to mention that, you know, you're full disclosure. You're the Ram fan of record.
So. We've had full disclosure, but you know, again, you know, he had 28 carries, 131 yards in the playoffs against Seattle. So really carried them there. I mean, I think, there are a lot of people who are going to be talking about Daryl Henderson, and there is the possibility that they're going to re-sign Malcolm Brown. But to me, this is the lead caballo with a head coach who likes to run the ball and likes to have his running back catch the ball when they're at peak powers. I think his receptions are going to go up. Health is a question, but I think the injuries that happened last year were not something that, you know, they're not soft tissue lingering. It's like, you know, he injured his ribs because the ball hit him weird in the ribs. So I don't think that's,
he'll be fine from that. That's not something that'll be recurring.
I'd love to see him unleashed. I'd love to see him get 16 games as the lead caballo. I'm thinking at the very least, he's a late first round pick. He could be top five. If this Ram offense with the number three offensive line, most of the guys are back. I'm looking at
and a great defense. So like you said earlier, I mean, if they're running the clock out, that's Akers just, you know, chugging away at the end of the game, at the end of games. So that's a possibility.
A lot of possibilities with him. A lot of possibilities. I'm gonna put together an article on these super sophomores, and you know, we're gonna have a series on this. But you know, there are guys that we're talking about. You mentioned, you know, Green Bay. What's Green Bay gonna do if Aaron Jones goes? I think AJ Dillon's definitely a possibility to go to kind of elevate it, because he's that big bruiser type that Coach LaFleur was really used when Derrick Henry was the breakout, when he was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee. But there's definitely some possibilities. I'll talk about Joshua Kelly a little bit. I got a little intel from the Athletics, Daniel Ooh. Popper talking about talking about him as a potential breakout candidate. But we'll save that. You know, this will be kind of the tease for that. For now,
there you go.
Primo, eso es todo for our show.
For our show.
Yeah, thanks
already,
again.
Already?
Yeah, estamos. So, well, all that taco talk, maybe talk, maybe probably know, maybe man, talk a little faster. I'm ready to eat.
Right, ready to eat. Let's go, man.
I don't know about tacos de cabeza yet, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out into the Familia community. Please make sure to subscribe anywhere you can get your podcasts. Leave us a review, especially at Apple, where you can do that. And make sure to find original content at FamiliaFFB.com. Again, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB. I'm at JorgeMartin17 on Twitter. Hector.
What the heck? Two T's.
Yeah, and make sure you're following us on our Familia FFB Facebook page, everybody. Gracias, everybody. This is our last show in February.
It's going to be madness. Madness in March.
Oh, March madness. Hey, you know.
Hey.
Thank you, everybody. And remember, everybody, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos. Salud.